The Gospel of Mark, pull out your Bibles, get it open, get your journals out, get ready to go. We're looking at the first 13 verses today. In the first 13 verses, I'm going to read just the first verse to start us off with. You ready? Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who is Jesus? I want you to think about this for a moment. I want you to think about in your own mind, who is Jesus? I'm pretty sure your mom or dad have an answer to that question. I'm pretty sure your youth pastor or pastor has an answer to that question. I want to know if you have an answer to that question. Who is Jesus? Think about the implications of that one question. If Jesus is what Mark just said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, how does that impact the way I live my life? How does that impact the way you live your life? Is he who he said he is, or is he not? Now, here's my contention. We live our lives, and our actions sometimes show us more than our words what we truly believe. So here's just a few examples from my own life. If I really believed that sugar was bad for me, I wouldn't have a 3-pound bag of Smarties in my office. I really like sugar. I like the dopamine hit it gives me. Like, if I get stressed out, I mean Smarties all day long, y'all. I mean, it gets me through the day. Are energy drinks bad for you? Yes. Why do I see you walking around with them all the time? You're too young for this. You don't think they're bad for you. Is too much coffee bad for you? No, don't go there. All right. Unhealthy food, like my cookies and cream milkshakes from Chick-fil-A. Do I believe they're bad for me? No, until I step on the scale. And the older I get, the worse they are for me because the number just keeps climbing. My misery. Oh. Have a shake for me later. All right. What we actually believe affects how we live life. Do I think I have to practice to get better at a sport or an instrument or something of that nature? Yeah. And if I really believe that, you're going to see me working hard at it. Do I think I have to actually be in the gym to get stronger? Yeah. But now wait a second. How many times do we try the shortcut versus the hard work? Give me the magic pill, and I won't have to work so hard on dieting or exercise or any of this type of stuff. I want to make the pill that makes the bazillion dollars because everybody wants the shortcut. So here's my question to you. Who is Jesus? And do you live like it? Because some of us, I think, live like Jesus is just a person. Historical figure, no big deal. But what Mark tells us is that Jesus, Joshua from the Old Testament, Jesus now, you see the connection here, Jesus, meaning God saves, Jesus Christ, meaning Messiah, meaning the prophesied one who is coming, Son of God. Now, this is the contention he's going to have throughout the whole book. And it doesn't start way, way, way later into it. It starts today, even with the baptism. Mark introduces us, and when he introduces us here, he's telling us, hey, wake up. I'm writing to the Romans. I'm not writing to the Jews. I'm not giving you a genealogy. This book's going to be fast, immediately over 40 times. Here you go. Wake up. Meet Jesus. Jesus, who is the Son of God and the adversary of Satan, right here in the very beginning of the chapter. That's what he's going to lay out for you. This is what Mark is telling us. And I'm asking you the question this morning, do you believe him? And if you believe him, how does it affect the way you live your life? Right at the very beginning, it's the gospel. It's the good news. It's the good news of what? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So here's your outline. We're going to look at the beginning, we're going to look at the baptism, and then we're going to look at the battle. And I don't know why Mark does what he does here. We'll talk about it. But we're going to look at the beginning. When we look at the beginning here, as we roll through these verses, it says at the very first word, the beginning. Does that remind you of anything? In the beginning, a first Adam, a second Adam. Things are coming to mind. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He then jumps right in. Gosh, in my Bible reading, I finished my yearly Bible reading plan this morning. So I'm reading Malachi. I'm reading the very end. And the very end, Elijah's coming. And then here you have Isaiah the prophet, who he's quoting, but he's also quoting from some others. And he's saying here, here's John the Baptist. And the words that are tying these first few verses together are wilderness and spirit. And you'll see wilderness and spirit over and over. When we see words, we underline them, highlight them, circle them if they're repeated, because that's important. And so it says, as it's written in Isaiah, behold, I send my messenger before your face to prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. This is what he's talking about right here in the very beginning. And then he says this, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. So what's John out there doing? He's out there being weird, y'all. I mean, look at what the text says. He's out there saying to them, repentance, repent. To repent is to change your mind. You're going this way and you're saying, no more, I'm not doing that. I'm changing my mind. I'm going the other way. This is what the gospel message is repent and believe. We'll talk about that on Tuesday. But here he's offering repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John is out there in the wilderness telling everybody straight up, you are a sinner and you need to repent and you need to be baptized. And so they're going to him from all Jerusalem. And they're going out and they were being baptized in the Jordan. They were confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist and he ate locust and wild honey. That can't be good. Why did he do it? Because he understands what his role is. Remember, Elijah's coming. What did Elijah wear? The same stuff. John's out there at the Jordan. Think about this now. Mark's writing, and he's saying all of Judea and Jerusalem, they're going out to this place called the wilderness. Have you ever heard of the wilderness before? And they're going to this river called the Jordan. You ever heard of the Jordan before? Like, I don't know, maybe last year when we walked through the book of Joshua and they were in the wilderness for 40 years and they went to the Jordan and they had to go down into the Jordan and come up out of the Jordan. And John's reminding everybody and he's saying, listen, we're thick-skulled people. We are sinners. We are rebels against the king. They're coming out to the wilderness and he's saying, confess and repent. And they're going down into the Jordan and they're being baptized, baptizo, meaning to immerse, and they're coming out, which is one of the reasons we believe in baptism by immersion. They're confessing their sins. And then he's saying this, listen, think about this. John the Baptist could have gotten prideful and arrogant and he could have said, everybody's coming out to me. I'm a big deal and I'm the man. And instead of getting prideful, what he says to everybody is, after me comes one who's mightier than I, the strap of his sandal. And they didn't even make Jewish slaves undo the sandals because your feet were dirty, because you'd been walking. And so he's saying, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. I am not worthy to wash his feet. There's somebody mightier than I. I can't even stoop down to untie his shoes. I baptize you here with water. All I'm doing is preparing the way, make straight. There's one coming that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that word spirit again. So let's just grab some application from John for a moment. You want to be like John the Baptist? Be a voice crying in the wilderness of your generation. It's not going to be popular. You're not going to be well-liked, but you can be faithful. Because God has called us to say to this generation that there is a cosmic battle going on. There is good and there is evil. And Jesus is, if you believe it, Jesus is the Son of God. And if you genuinely believe that, it changes everything, and I'll come back to that at the end. Be the voice crying out in your generation. Embrace contentment and resist materialism. John, he could have had a platform and a ministry and an Instagram, and people could have been clipping him, and he would have had thousands of viewers, and he would have been all over the place. Like, he's crazy enough that everybody would want to come see him, right? I mean, he's eating locusts. You could put that on Instagram and get like 1,000 likes. I don't know. I mean, he's doing this, and yet all he's doing is he's saying, listen, this is my spot. I'm not the guy. I'm pointing to the guy. And I want to say to all of you, don't try to be the guy. Be the person that points everybody to the guy. That's our job. Stay humble. I'm not worthy to unstrap his shoe. I can't even wash his feet, y'all. Do I believe that? Or is this life all about me? Because that's where we mess up. We start reading our press releases. We think we're all this and all that. We got all these gifts and we're special and all this. We're not special. We are servants of the Most High God. That's it. He's special. Stay humble. And then I have to ask you, have you repented and confessed? We'll come back to it. So then we move to a baptism. We see a beginning. Now we see a baptism. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. Why was he baptized by John in the Jordan? He didn't need to repent. He didn't need to confess. He didn't have anything to repent of or confess of. But he came to John in the Jordan because he's identifying with humanity. He's identifying with our sinfulness. The Lord's going to tell us to be baptized. And so he is actually doing all of the steps and setting an example for us. But even more than that, he's just identifying with us. And so he's coming and he's being baptized by John in the Jordan. And it says, when he came up out of the water, again, reason we believe in immersion, he came up out of the water. No reason to be down in the water if you're just going to sprinkle it on top. And so here he says, immediately. Now, circle that word. You're going to circle it all throughout the book. Immediately, he saw the heavens being torn open. The same word here, torn open, of the veil being torn from top to bottom that we get after the crucifixion. It's being torn open. And the Spirit, this is the second time now we've seen the Spirit. We saw the Spirit in verse 8, baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now we see the Spirit descending on him like a dove. This is a Trinitarian passage. And a voice comes from heaven, from the Father, because the voice says what? Look at what it says. You are my beloved son. What's Mark's thesis? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Right here at the beginning, Jesus is obedient in baptism. He goes down, he comes up, the Spirit descends, the Father speaks. When the Father speaks, what does the Father say? The Father says, you are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. Who is he? Is he truly the Son? And if so, has it made a difference in the way you live your life? All right, this is where it gets weird. I'll do my best. We'll have to look at some other texts just to pull them in. Mark now introduces us to a battle. So meet Jesus, the Son of God, and the adversary of Satan. Here's what I think is weird, y'all. He doesn't tell us that Jesus resisted the temptations, or he won, or that he quoted scripture. He just tells us that the temptation happened. You know, Mark's up to something here. He knows what he's doing. He's writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we read the text as we would have read it, not that we've read it 30 times, But we're reading this and we're saying, okay, Mark, what are you after? You're introducing us to meet Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God because God says he's his son and he's well pleased. But then immediately after the baptism, there's no celebration, there's no coronation, there's no, this is a big deal. He's always been the son. He didn't become the son at baptism, he's always been the son. And so the baptism takes place and then the Spirit says, it's time to go, it's time to get to work. The Spirit, immediately. You see the action here. And the strong verbs. He drove him out. He didn't just lead him. He didn't say, come on, it's time to go. It's like he cast him out. This is used of casting out the demons, the evil spirits. He drove him out into the wilderness. Oh, we see the wilderness again. He drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days. Well, 40 days, that number brings a whole lot to mind. Being tempted by Satan. Here's what I expect to see right here. And he resisted all the temptations and won. He defeated Satan, the adversary, the accuser. Mark just keeps trucking. This is the Cliff Notes version, y'all. He was being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now let's go. It's time to move into the ministry. So we see the beginning, we see the baptism, and here we see the battle. Now, I can't leave you just with that for the battle. The Spirit drove him out. He's there for 40 days. How many of you have ever fasted, like not had anything to eat? I know you're not supposed to tell anybody you're fasted. It's okay, God will forgive you right now. How many of you have fasted for like 5 days straight? Anybody fasted for like 5 days straight? Anybody fasted for like 40 days straight? I have a buddy that fasted for 40 days. I'm like, I don't understand how. Like, I don't think I'm that spiritual. I don't think I have that much willpower to be able to fast for 40 days straight. He's in the wilderness for 40 days, and the devil comes along to him, and pulling from Matthew and Luke, let's think for just a moment about the temptations that occur here. He comes to him, and he says, if you look at Matthew or Luke, chapter 4, he says to him, if you are the Son of God. What's happening here, y'all? The accuser, the devil, the adversary, who in Genesis 3 said, did God really say, comes to Jesus knowing who he is because the demons all know who he is, and you're gonna see that all throughout, and he says to him, if you really are the Son of God, prove yourself, and when he says first prove yourself is turn these rocks into bread. You're hungry. You have urges in your flesh. And Jesus there, we know from Matthew and Luke, resist the temptation. Man does not live by bread alone. He's quoting scripture to him, straight out of Deuteronomy. Memorize Deuteronomy. Great book to memorize. Yet we've all failed there. Because we actually all like food. So much so that many of us are guilty of gluttony. The passions of our flesh, those sexual temptations that lead us into doing things we shouldn't do or looking at things we shouldn't look at. The dopamine hit that we get from Smarties or sugar or candy or scrolling on the gram or whatever it is, we like it and we give into it. And yet there's this guy that we're being introduced here to. And after 40 days of being in the desert, in the wilderness, and being really hungry, the devil comes along and says to him, if you really are who you say you are, if you're really a Christian, if you're really to Jesus, the Son of God, prove it. Turn these stones into bread. You can't resist looking at something you shouldn't look at for 4 days, much less 40 days. It doesn't stop there. Oh, if you are the Son of God, let's go to the temple. Now, we don't know whether he took him to the temple, whether he just showed him the temple. We don't know what was happening here, but cast yourself down. If you're the Son of God, because God says that he won't let you get hurt. His angels will protect you. So now he's going after his ego. He's going after his pride. He's going after him mentally. If you really are who you say you are, prove it. Throw yourself down and let's see what happens. Now, we fail here too. I fail here all the time. We exaggerate. We tell stories about other people. We gossip about other people because we want to feel better about ourselves. So we put others down so it raises us up. We tell exaggerations about our own past accomplishments because we feel the need to be accepted by other people. We have pride. Somebody says, you can't do this. We say, oh yeah, watch me. I'll show you. And yet Satan comes to Jesus and says to Jesus, cast yourself down. If you're the Son of God, if you're who you say you are. And Jesus is like, no. You don't tempt the Lord your God. This is not how this works. And mentally, we are weak and we give in and our pride takes over and we don't resist like we should. And then there's a third temptation that comes. And this one is a great temptation for us to think about today. Because the third temptation is where Satan says to him, listen, if you just bow down to me, I'll give you all of this. You know what the temptation is? The temptation is to get the crown without the cross. The temptation is the shortcut. The temptation before Jesus is he's saying to Jesus, listen, you just bow down to me because God has made me the ruler of this world. You bow down to me and you worship me and I'll give it all to you. And you won't have to go through all of those disciples and their mess and their bad words. And you won't have to go through all of the betrayal. And you won't have to go through all of the scourging. And you won't have to carry a cross. And you won't have to hang naked for us. You don't have to do any of that. Just take the shortcut. Do you know what he's saying to you? All you have to do is hit ChatGPT and say, write that paper for humanities for me and turn it in. And you don't ever have to think about how to get the words out of your brain onto a sheet of paper and formulate a coherent sentence that somebody else can understand. All you have to do is hit enter and you get the A. You get the reward without the work. Do you see the temptation? And do you know how often we give into it? We want the crown. We just don't want the cross. We want the championship trophy. We just don't want to put in the work that it takes in the gym in order to get to that point. It's hard. You don't know what my teammates are like. You don't know what it's like getting up early in the morning over and over and over, day after day. It's hard. And I don't want to do hard. I want to do easy. And this is easy. And that's the temptation. And boy, this should hit all of us. I don't want to wait until marriage to be friends with benefits. I want to shortcut it and get what I want now rather than doing it God's way. But that's not the way the Lord does it. I don't want to take the time to earn those possessions. I just want to get them, so I'm going to steal them. Or I'm going to try to take the shortcut and I'm going to bet on Bitcoin because it's going to make me a fortune and I don't have to work hard and I'm going to sit back. Plagiarism. Work ethic, doing things the right way at the right time. Who is this man? Who is he? And what does that mean to me? Ask yourself this question, because here's the deal, y'all. Some of you are living like there is no Jesus and there is no God and there is no Savior and there is no eternity in heaven or hell. You're just living life. You're just going through it day after day like everybody else in this world. Because if Jesus is not Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then all of this is a lie. If evolution is true, we are cosmic accidents that have just shown up. We are not created in the image of God. We have no purpose. We should all go eat cookies and cream milkshakes until we die. And we should just have a blast because none of it really matters. Live your life however you want to. Captain of your own fate, because you're going to live this life and you're going to die and it's all going to go away and it's all meaningless. And if that's the truth, you should be stressed out and you should have anxiety and you should be depressed and you should be wondering, why am I here and what am I supposed to do? And some of you are. But listen to me. If Jesus is the Son of God, then that means God created the world in 6 literal days and we messed it up with our own sin, but he created us in his image and you are loved because you are in the image of God and you are loved so much that Christ died for you while you were yet a sinner and he went to a cross and he died in your place and for your sake so that there is a cosmic battle taking place for your soul and for the soul of all the people who live on this planet. And it all matters. And the Bible tells us about the truth. So if I'm really living as though he's God, I gotta be in the Word. I gotta meditate on it day and night. I gotta be passionate about the gospel. I gotta live my life in a way that I'm telling others about the truth of Jesus. I have to know who I am. I resist those fleshly, stupid things. I resist that prideful, arrogant stuff of the mind. I live my life in a way that makes a difference for the King. Is it real? Is he who he said he is? Does it change how you live your life? There's the devil, and he's the accuser, and he's the adversary, and he's gonna come tell you lies, and he's gonna tell you you're not loved, and he's gonna tell you nobody cares about you. But there's a truth from God in his word that says you are loved and that you are a child of the King and you replace those lies of the devil with the truth of scripture in your own mind and you recognize there is a cosmic war taking place, y'all. And we better be ready for battle. Who is he? Who is he to you? Oh, yes, it's Cedarville. Yeah, he's Jesus. Do you live like it? Do you get up every morning and say, I'm going to be in the Word, no Bible, no breakfast? Because there's a cosmic battle taking place and I better put on the armor of God and be ready to go. Do you plan your life out so that you can defend your faith and give a reason for the faith that's within you? Because you're going to have to do that one day. Or do your actions say, just living life like everybody else? I don't really believe it. I'm just here. If Jesus is who he says he is, and that's what we're going to look at as we walk through Mark, there is a real battle between good and evil. And it's time to get in the game. Dear Lord, would you help us to live out our faith? Would you help us to know who you are? Would you make that real to us? And would you help us to live in the reality of the truth of your word for the rest of our days? In Jesus' name, for your glory and for our joy, amen. You are loved.